Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM.
One, two, one, two. How's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
Yo, Friday, the 1st of May, you know, this day will never ever come again. Sweet talking sport, we got the man called G11G.
Yes, Simon Dyer.
Yeah, lovely day, innit? Nice and sunny and that, to come out and, you know, see the people there, man. We start talk about the football and sport and everything, innit? So...
yeah, that's so true. That, yeah, Sweet Talking Sport is, you know, Sheffield Live's chat show. Straight to the point, that deals with the latest sports news and stories with both interviews and drawing an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to sport and decisions on sporting events. With a local international, good to go. On air, expansive debate, analysed by G, CV, and also myself. You know, regular programming, probably Yorkshire's best talking sports radio chat show. On point, good to go. You can listen every Friday from 6 till 7 or catch up on the archives. Yeah. So without further ado, I hope nobody's listening, but if you are, please keep this quiet all the time. About, and you know what, gonna jump straight in. I know your guys aren't the greatest of snookerites, but I must admit I've been watching Wu Yiz, 22-year-old youth, and I'm telling you, if you ever get a chance to take on a bit of snooker, you need to watch this guy. He's kind of like unbelievable.
He's made it to the semi-finals now.
Yeah. He's kind of like...
completely forget about the snooker.
I reckon he's going to go all the way. Seriously.
No. Who's he playing then?
He's playing...
Sullivan got knocked out, didn't he?
Yeah, Sullivan got knocked out. So there was Sean left in it. Sean Murphy. My man Higgins. That's in it. John Higgins.
Once Higgins got knocked out, Sullivan...
Yes,
Ronnie.
Yes, it was. Yeah, because Ronnie was kind of dealing with him at one time.
Yeah, he came back. That's right. He brought it back to 12-12, didn't
he? Yeah, he just clawed it back. Yeah, you know what I mean. But yeah, you need to spend a bit of time and watch this Wu Yiz. You know what I mean? You have to rate him. You have to heal him up. You have to big him up.
So
who's
the match
mean?
Between? Is that over yet? John
Mark
and Sean?
Selby, Wu Yiz is playing. You know, so
I thought Mark Selby got knocked out.
I reckon. You know that the Chinese guys are gonna just take over.
There's quite a few of them in this tournament, isn't there?
I don't mean just take over. I mean the titles and stuff. You know, just clean up because they're on it. I mean, this guy, he was training potting balls when he was 11. And his father used to kind of like get him a coach. So at 11, he was making breaks about 48 breaks, something like that. 49 at 11, and then what, 2 weeks within 2 weeks he had a coach, and then he was making breaks at 86, and that's at 11 year old, you know what I mean? So you're talking nearly a century breaks, you know what I mean, before he gets in his teens. So like his coach used to say to him, do you know what, he's a good talent, you know what I mean? And he used to kind of like play it down and said, nah, because Ronnie, Rocket Ronnie, would have clean up, you know what I mean? So he was probably like a bit harsh on himself for kind of like various kind of like reasons. But like, I mean, the Rocket has trained with him, practiced with him in China and that, and he says, he's one to kind of like watch out, you know what I mean? But I must admit, I've been kind of like watching quite a few matches myself, and kind of, getting right into it, you know what I mean? And obviously now it's kind of like warming up nice, you know what I mean? So no doubt I'll be watching. I'm not saying that I'm going to be watching all of the final, but I certainly will be watching some of it, you know what I mean? And looking forward to that too. But yeah, there's been some kind of like extraordinary kind of play between these people, them, you know what I mean? So did your guys play any? It probably was like pool plays, isn't it, back in the days? If we were pool table, you might have gone in there for a little bit.
I had a snooker table, a mini one, yeah. So I played on it quite a bit. But it never really took me.
I
just used to play on it. Me and Nelly and that.
Okay.
Used to just play on it. Like, then obviously then we played pool as well. Right? But yeah, I used to play on it. And it was about so big.
Where I used to work before, back in the day at the Polytechnic, we had a snooker table up there. And me and a couple of guys used to go down and play. I would have been, 16, 17 them time there. Struggle with snooker, I'm not going to lie.
I struggle with it,
whatever. Put me on a pool table.
Was it the different colour balls or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, colour blind kind of thing you're going with. But no, you know, like to pop the balls and stuff, I struggle on the pool table, on the snooker table. Wasn't my game. In that respect.
So you know, pat the ball then.
Me not pat, when me think me have it line up, road ground, when it was line up in my sight, I'm going to lick the ball. Mm. No, it's not going the way.
No. You see me? I always make sure me use my long cue to pat the ball. Yeah, me always use my long cue to pat the ball. You understand what I mean, innit?
No.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You need Q for you to play pool and snooker, innit?
Pool was more my game over snooker. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
To be honest with you, we've still got a snooker table in our attic. It's six before.
So it's six before. Yeah.
And I think what it would need to get it up to scratch is just reclothing.
Mm.
And the balls will probably be up there as well. We have a few cues as well. And in fact, my mother was thinking to give it away to the church, but I think I would just keep that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nostalgia, I
just kind of keep that. She can't give that away. You know what I mean? But yeah. Me and kind of like Bluey used to kind of play, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Back in the days, little bit, when we were little bit.
You're talking
from Hunter's Bar.
Yeah. You know that's what I mean? before you went across, innit?
Crosses. Yeah. And you had little bar them, little score sheet and that. And then, the table start deteriorate, you know, like with the pocket them.
The wool have
big wool in it.
All that
kind of stuff. But do you know what? That would be a good little thing, that recloth it. I don't know how much that would cost, but
it's going to cost you money.
In fact, there's a snooker shop just up from where I live. And I'm probably just going to go in there one day and say, you know, six before table. Cheap, cheap,
cheap as what we're saying to Recloughy.
Take a picture of the table and show it when you go up there.
No, just go and say 6-6 before. You know what I mean? They'd have a good idea of Recloughing a table at 6-4. You know what I mean? So that's all you'd need. You know what I mean, really? But yeah, that'd be kind of interesting, that, you know? But yeah, I think...
So you're fancying this guy to win the tournament?
Then? Yeah, definitely, 100%. I can't see anybody else.
When does it start?
Him.
The finals? Would it be Friday? Today, in fact?
I don't think so, no. Well, it would be...
Or is it next week?
Not quite sure, but I would have thought maybe Sunday? Would it be Sunday?
Because
I know
it usually ends on a Sunday. It usually ends on a Sunday, that's what I'm saying. Because I was watching a little last night, and the game I was watching, it was between Sean Murphy and John Higgins, and it was the Hurley Frames, which had been played earlier today, but man start drop asleep, so I don't know who won that. So I was asking which one of them two must have got you, because one of them must get you to play him.
See.
In fact,
yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, probably, yeah, what's that, May the 4th, that's maybe the 3rd, maybe Sunday, and because it concludes on the 4th of May.
So that'd
be good, but I would definitely, I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying that I'd watch it all, but... Wu Yi is for me.
It's for you, okay.
At 22, do you know what I mean? And almost like, yeah, he's got a mistake in him, just like, you know, when the pressure licks them, do you know what I mean? But he's kind of consistent. He will go for his shots. Not bossy, you know what I mean? Just gets on with it. And kind of like, yeah, I must admit, I've kind of like enjoyed watching the Snoops, you know what I mean?
Just there were a few, I don't know if they're all Chinese or whatever else, but I do know there was a few Oriental people in this tournament this year, whatever else. But they've always been knocking on the door, and they do have some good players coming out to them sides, you know what I mean? So,
well, a few years ago, they were saying that it's going to be dominated by, you know, the titles are going to be dominated by the Chinese, because there's a lot of young players coming up.
That's right.
And they'll be at the academy in Sheffield as well. I'm not sure where the academy is, but apparently, I mean, even them pros are talking about it, that they come down here a lot and practice.
Yeah,
they
used to have a place near the Castle Market or something. Wasn't there something around there that did a build up, open up, and it was on the news, it was on the TV?
Is it?
I'm not sure if it was down that side, but yeah, I think it's the same place you might be talking, and show them all in there playing with the young kids, them and everything, up and coming young kids and that, which is good still. You know what I mean, but snooker's a game that it does attract players.
Mm-hmm.
It does. From all different walks of life, it does.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, it seems to be getting kind of like younger as well, innit? You know?
Well,
and it seems to be kind of like fearless, you know? But, you know, I think I'd love to kind of like, if I could roll back the years and stuff. And
you would have gone for it.
Yeah, because in fact, I think I've only seen one black guy at the Crucible, and he was tall, slim, and he had dreads.
I know which one you're talking.
Can you remember?
Oh, no, there was another one.
Is it? Oh, so
there was another guy that short hair. Forgot what his name was, and he was pretty good.
Okay.
Oh, he was around in the 80s, 90s.
Yeah. I mean, this guy with the dreads, it was only... I'd say within the last four or five kind of like years.
Okay, pretty, you know, recent then.
Yeah. But, you know, I'd kind of like...
He used to play, didn't he? Matt, if you feel me, I'll be singing. Back in the day.
Sorry about that.
He used to play all the time. He's no longer with us now, I don't think. Used to follow Wednesday. Mick Forbes.
Oh, Mick Forbes.
He used to play on a regular basis. He used to play on a regular basis.
He went to the Crucible a few times as well.
He used to play a lot, a real lot.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the only guy that I know who really played it on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Mick Forbes,
he used to go to Marples above. It was above Marples.
Mm-hmm.
The snooker place was.
Marples.
Yeah, it was.
On the corner. Fitzland Square.
I can't remember that. But you're going back now.
I know they had,
you know, the place up Attercliffe was quite common as well.
What, the snooker hall? There was a snooker hall where I lived, on Healy, down near Healy. I think it's still there. Yeah, yeah,
I've,
yeah.
I've been in there a few times.
Yeah,
actually.
I've been in there a few times. Yeah. Back in the day.
See it there. Mm. So yeah, listen out, you people, and make sure so you check out.
By the way, there is an academy, you know, in Sheffield, Snooker Academy.
Yeah, yeah, we were just chatting about it.
It's the Victoria. I'll just give you, it's Victoria Snooker Academy in Sheffield, located at the Unit 3 Metis Building, Scotland Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it is.
Mm. Okay. So anybody out there looking to set yourself up and that, yeah, you have to be kind of committed and stuff. Have a good eye for the bar then, you know what I mean? So if you need any tips, you need to be chatting to the man called CV, because he said I used to kind of like a bit hard on it, you know what I mean, and good potting and that. So
I wouldn't say that. I was only a youth then.
I thought you was busting your trumpet a bit ago, I used to play it.
I wouldn't say that I was dangerous at it. I just said that you need a cue, innit?
A long cue. Let's be correct. Fifth part
all the balls, innit?
Not any cue, a long one.
Adapt me a talk. You know?
Scene. Okay. We're just going to, flip it and chat about the Varda business and that with the drug people, them. You know what I mean? With the Russians athletes following their seizure of Moscow laboratory. And this has been back in the day, this 2019. Because what they did, Varda found, a load of kind of like things about the Russians, them. We're supposed to be kind of like a bit of a cover-up, really. Because what had happened is kind of like when Varda went in, they had like an operation and it was called Operation Limb, you know what I mean? And it was like, what, 291 athletes were sanctioned and 302 sanctioned imposed. Now, people might say, do you know what's the difference, you know what I mean, you know? So the difference is athletes sanctioned refers to a person or an individual that kind of violation the rules, you know, and undergoing punishment, yeah? And sanctions imposed actually refers to a specific consequence of penalties applied to the athlete by the governing body, which is VADA. And these kind of like discrepancies was kind of like, I'm just going to mention a few sports what was involved. Obviously, I'm saying obviously the weight training, because I want them Jews filling up the weights, innit? That was kind of 107 of that. And then the wrestlers dabbled in it too. The powerlifting was, they dabbled in it too. And also the athletes was also dabbling in that as well. Competitors from 22 sports have been punished
by 23 different anti-doping organisations. And like I said, I've mentioned a few sports involved, which was, you know, the weightlifters and stuff. 11 athletes have received sanctions for multiple violations, while 4 further cases have been charged but not resolved, you know, with final judgment still awaiting. You know what I mean? So, as long as I can remember, the Russians have always had something to do with the juice.
Always, I was going to say that.
Do you know what I mean, innit?
Always.
From back in the days to this present day, how come them can't behave themselves, eh? You know what I mean?
It's obvious, it's obvious they can't manage without it then.
Yeah, it's true.
Or they
yeah.
don't believe in themselves enough that they can achieve what they need to achieve, because like you just said, from way back when... these guys have been taking, been finding out with drugs, because they got banned from the tournaments for some years as well, didn't mm-hmm. they? Different tournaments, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And I you mean, still are going with yourself.
I mean, they're saying, you know, Operation Limb was the most successful investigation in anti-doping history. Wow. We would have called it Operation Sweet Boy. You know what I mean? That's, you know, they would, when them get these...
Operation what?
Yeah, the operation, instead of Operation Limb, I'd call it Operation Sweet Boy. You know what I mean?
Operation Sweet
Boy. Yeah.
Sweet
Boy. Yeah, with the juice and all them something there, you know what I mean? You know, they might juice up every two minutes, you know?
Love that name,
Sweet
Boy. All right.
Yeah.
No, we don't know where that come from.
Operation Sweet Boy. I could imagine that upon news. Can you imagine it? You know what I mean?
Sweet Boy.
Yeah. So, yeah, what I've been on it, man, you know.
So, where are they leading to with this now? Are we going to be banning athletes? Well, obviously, athletes are going to get banned again, isn't it?
Mafia get banned, innit? Mafia get banned, man.
See, Mafia will just ban the country from any athletics in the future because they can't help themselves. They've been doing this for 20-odd years. You know what I mean? Them not learned, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know...
I bet that's why they were so dominant with the hockey for how many years. It was like the USSR and stuff. They were dominant when it came to the ice hockey. Years.
It's them in America, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
was it
the Americans that beat the Indians, or was it the Canadians?
Yeah. Well, the strongest ones was them three, innit?
Yeah.
And then this year players come up.
Yeah. Nobody was beating them when it did come to that. And then the rough too.
You know, they're saying that it, you know, the material they found kind of like evidence on material and that, but you know, obviously some of that's been manipulated, you know what I mean, and data just kind of like just get changed up and that, you know what I mean, you know, you can imagine that, you know, I mean, you know, to lead the Russians being handed a 4-year ban from all major sporting events in 2019, Russian doping ban ended, you know, a couple of years ago, through its teams and competitors were banned by multiple international sporting bodies following their invasion of the Ukraine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I just sort of mentioned a few sports, but you know, like there's a long list, you know, even canoeing, the panic football, and
what about shot put, hammer throwing and them
and stuff, rowing, you know, skating,
everything,
you know, yeah, man, volleyball, you know what I mean, and stuff. But it just shows how far. You know, like that, you know, because it's not just one or two isolated incidents. You could probably understand that, but there's really bad.
It's tradition,
you know,
man.
What I mean, I think you're right, G. You
it's
know,
tradition
about
with them,
tradition.
Man.
You know,
for all the Jews.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for group up themselves, man. Everybody know that, man. You know how many things he mentioned? And like we said, from the 80s, we could have been before that, to be honest. You know what I mean? But from where recollecting from the 80s, I mean, and them still I do it now in a 2000 and odd.
Mm-hmm. Yep. See it there.
I'm a sportsmanship, dog, man.
I mean, I don't believe kind of like everyone, every kind of positive one is kind of like kind of banduli. I mean, some of them might have been just kind of like unlucky, but you know, if you get to the top of your tree and you've got kind of like them kind of doctors around you and stuff, I mean, you've got, I think they get given kind of like not just a list, but kind of like ongoing data about banned substances and stuff. And some kind of just them ears just too hard. Them nah listen.
Winning is winning by any means.
Yeah. Them ears them too hard. You know what I mean? I mean, can you imagine if we were top athletes? You know what I mean? And we were taking some kind of juice and the elders them find out. What would they be saying to you? Me tell you about them thing there. Long time ago.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Yeah. All them hard talking and that, you know?
Yeah, because...
So I take them thing for if you can't manage the sport, then don't bother with the sport.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like some of them, they sit down there and they might listen to them, not talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one would say, yeah, me they tell them because me here, you know, you know them fiesta.
I was trying to search out for that, you know, fiesta.
Some of them parents they would come and say, "Man, yeah, they bought on all with on the fiesta." Oh, that you know what I'm saying it.
Lord, me have ears, me can listen to you.
Yeah,
definitely. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Million.
I mean, it's always going to be in the kind of like sporting kind of domain. I don't think we will ever get away to that. And I'll come with another story in a little while, but I want to kind of like big up Millie Bright. You know, she says she's had enough, basically, had a footballing thing and looking to kind of like retire from the game at the top. You know what I mean? So, Millie Bright, said that she's done. She said that on Wednesday, you know what I mean? And her mum has given her a kind of letter, but she said she's not being able to read it yet. You know what I mean? So,
who gave her a letter?
Her mother gave her a letter when she retired, but she's not being able to read it all. I should say. I mean, 32-year-old, and a quite powerful kind of player as well.
Yeah, she's a respected player. You know, when she's on that pitch, she is as good as she tech and she can play.
Yeah, very.
That's
she can
big loss to the team. That, but you know, 32. Yeah,
I mean, is it? But you know, like for a defender, I mean, yeah, they have got some kind of years still left in them at that because it's like they're not. They're not up and down, you know what I mean? Like backwards and forwards. It's like just defending. But I think she's where Millie's coming from is mentally and physically. Them demands. I don't think she was just kind of like feeling it anymore, really. But she started a career at Donegal's.
She did, yes. You know? She did.
So I think she was there for about maybe 5 years, and then. Then she went to Leeds after that. But that was just on loan, though, you know. And then Chelsea, 12 years at Chelsea.
Yeah, that's where she was really established, to be honest.
Dominant, innit? Dominant, smaddy there. And 9 years playing for a country. I mean, you know, you talk about loyalty, which in this day and age, there's not really a lot of that knocking about, really. But, you know, I'd have thought a player like that would have been tempted to, you know, test a look and go abroad, you know what I mean, to Spain or Italy. But Millie said that she never really fancied that. And like I said, you know, we're talking about loyalty. And that for me, you know, she says that she just wanted to fight for just one badge. And that was the Chelsea badge. She didn't really fancy any of the kind of like challenge me. But for me, I think it shows a lot of commitment from her. And she's helped, no doubt, to grow the game over here, to put a stamp on it too.
Most definitely.
You know what I mean?
She definitely has, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think
she's done her part, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Go on, you.
No, I'm saying, yeah, she's definitely done her part for the English team and the England team and whatever else. The whole squad, everything.
I mean, yeah, she was on about, you know, that she wanted that stability. I mean, you know, to highlight them teams there, you know, she spent, apart from Leeds United just on loan, she spent years
she
there.
She spent years, I mean, you know 12 years at Chelsea. Yeah, that's a long time,
isn't it? It is a long time, you know what I mean? But also, for me, I think she's played it safe. It can also be looked as, you know, played it safe. You know, it's kind of like unlikely to kind of move on or less kind of like chances of failure.
Yeah, well.
You know what I mean? You can also look at it like that as well.
Like she says, isn't it? She's coming out where she's at the top.
That's right.
She's leaving on a high.
That's right. You know what I mean? She's achieved quite a lot. She's, for starters, right? She's played in the two European championship successes what they've had, home and away.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Chelsea's won the WSL numerous of times. Probably not going to win it this year because we'll probably win it this year. Us, like City, will win it probably this year, hopefully. But they've won it loads of times. And she's been a big major part of it.
So she's
been a major part in the England setup and the Chelsea setup. So she can't really go. She can't really get any. I think Chelsea. The only thing Chelsea didn't win was the Champions League. They never won it. They never won it. Them. There's only Arsenal that I know of. What's won the Women's Champions League, but Chelsea dominated it for ages. They've won everything. And like I said, then she was part of it as well.
So from her point of view, then what else has she got to achieve?
There you go.
She's had all these dreams through her career to do this, do that, and that. CV saying the only one she's not won is that championship thing, which...
Champions League.
It's not going to happen again. So for her now, she's thinking, well, you know what? I've done everything else. What else
World
is there
Cup
for
medal.
Her?
Yes, that's another one. That's another one.
That's right.
That's another one. Yeah, that's a fair point.
I mean,
that is a fair point.
She kind of like, I mean, 8 women's Super League titles.
There you go.
You know what I mean? 6 FA Cup medals. There 4 League Cup medals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, an Euro winner back in 22. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And she was the captain. The women's side when they lost to Spain 1-0 in Adi
World. I watched it.
You know what I mean? I mean, she said that she's received quite a lot of stick on media as well, abuse and stuff.
For what?
You know what I mean?
For what?
Well, you'll get them smaddy day. You know what I mean?
Who well, just for
like,
those people.
What,
just
because she's packing in?
You're going to get them, aren't you? Whether...
You mean the trolls and stuff that's
come
out? Yeah, everybody gets you know, that. I mean, actors. It doesn't matter you win. Once your name is out there, there's going to be someone that comes with a skullduggery on you and say all kind of foolishness.
No, because really...
Mind you, because I've got nothing better to do.
You're right. It's because they've got nothing better to do.
They've got nothing better to do.
Why would you... This woman's paved the way, hasn't she? She's been a success.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Totally
so
agree with
you
that.
You can't be slagging her off. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
She's been,
not only
good.
That, she's set some certain benchmarks as well, you know? Yeah. And she's achieved. Her name is there now. It's going to be there for in the English women's English football for ever and a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Simple as that. It's cemented.
Like I said, you know, goes into the physical and the mental side of things, you know what I mean? Said it was hard to say kind of like goodbye, really. But, you know, from a personal level, she's saying that she found it very difficult to deal with, like, with abuse. She found that kind of really hard to kind of, like, handle. Even kind of, like, last year when she kind of, like, really... She said she lost herself in a personal way. And that's kind of, like, kind of deep when you hear somebody say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
when
it's found a long time to kind of, like, rebuild that. Of who she is and what she kind of stands for, you know?
It's a shame.
Mm-hmm. It's a shame what people's done to her mentally, because when you're talking about mentally now, whatever, mm-hmm. it's a different ball game, isn't mm-hmm. it? And it is physically draining as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're saying that. I mean, I think not just footballers, but I think any sport athletes, when you're unable to give kind of like 100% mentally and physically, it's probably time to say goodbye to that discipline, whatever that is. Do you know what I mean?
That's right. I agree with that.
You know, and saying, you know, she said that he was very tough. But she knows that she's doing the right thing, saying goodbye to her teammates and stuff. And, you know, it's kind of like the expectation and stuff while making various decisions. She said that she can tolerate that, you know, but to question her integrity and her passion, dedication, she can't accept that, you know what I mean? So, you know, yeah, it's very sad, you know, people who kind of like a dissing her and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Kind of. It's only similar to Mary Earps.
Mm.
Mary Earps got the same kind of thing. And she was England's goalkeeper, weren't she?
I remember.
And she was like Tapa Tapa's goalkeeper.
Yeah, because I was surprised when she retired.
Yeah,
actually.
There you go. Right. Mm-hmm. And then Anna Hamilton, she's now the England goalkeeper now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. And she come in and she got stick for coming in after Mary Earps.
Is it?
Yeah.
So, I remember Earps now. Yeah, I remember
She was She was a done goalkeeper. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got to understand. I mean, same with us. If you're opening your emails or whatever it is, you're on your social media accounts, whatever else, on TikTok, wherever,
mm-hmm.
and you're reading these comments, there's people saying you're good at this, whatever, and then boom, somebody comes with something, and then you bypass that, you go down again, and boom, different people. Every day, you're opening your things and you're seeing those. Eventually, It's gonna get on your head, isn't it? You're gonna be thinking these things. Are saying no, you're not like that, whatever else. But eventually, yeah. I'm sure you're gonna start thinking about. I think anybody would, no matter how strong minded you are. If you're reading it day after day, or and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, certain people have kind of like it's like the thresholds and that, innit? Some people
resilience.
Can withstand, more than others. Do you know what I mean? And I think you know. Sometimes people might say, well, you know, like with the women and that, they can get kind of emotional, but anybody can get emotional, you know what I mean? Man or woman, you know
how
I mean?
Long she's been doing this,
long time,
years,
exactly, yeah, long time.
So she now
at that level as well,
and
you know
that
what
level,
I mean?
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so let's say you're 12 years, you said at Chelsea, so those years and up until now, she's been doing this and getting all mm-hmm. them things. That's a long time to put up with them foolishness,
mm-hmm. definitely, you know. Let's go. Yeah, let's go for real. And then, like I said, I touched on the Russians with the drugs and stuff. I mean, this guy's not that far away from Russia. You know, this Ukraine boy, Mudryk. Can you remember him, CV? You know what I mean? So he got like a four-year ban. Yeah. And some people were saying, what, 4-year ban? Where's that come from? And it's because, like, the FA... I mean, people will say that they're trying to cover it up, but the FA, they're saying that they like to keep it like kind of confidential. It's like confidentiality because it's about the whole kind of like process with the, from the testing to the sort of like questioning. And then if there's an appeal, you've got the kind of legal side to it also as well. So they're saying that, they don't really put it out there in the public domain, but I'd kind of question that.
That's foolishness. Because you need to tell people this person has been done this and he's been banned for this for however long he's been banned because whatever. We're not asking for the whole report on what he's done, but you have to give information so people understand what's going on with these people. I mean, well, if you've got a child that follows this guy and then he rates this guy thinking he's whatever, and then you'll find out later, some years down the road, that they cover up about he's been taking drugs and that. You don't want your child to follow that man, are you?
That's true.
And you have to go to... And you want to explain to him why.
You're looking at the right role model, aren't you? The correct role model.
Well, Trav is young.
That's in it. That's what you're looking at.
That's why the man move with me, innit? You know what I mean? If you keep on a CNN thing.
What? As in, as in the right role model.
Oh, Lord of mercy. Let's move on. Next subject.
Yeah. Better we move on because, you know?
But I don't understand why he wants to cover things up like that.
I think he was trying to appeal it as well.
He has got appeal, and he's got a right to appeal. You know, it's like when people kind of like get them kind of like, you know, bans or them sanctions, there's kind of like a window for them to kind of like appeal. You know, I mean, because it's like the FA, they kind of like provisionally suspended him. Having tested positive for the performance enhancing drug, you know, which he had like an adverse finding, and it was just a routine test, to be honest with you, you know. So I mean, you know, like I said, you know, why the FA kind of like keep it kind of all hush hush and all that kind of stuff. They're saying that there's only a small group of people what would have known this at Chelsea, but again, I don't think that is entirely true, because if you've got a squad of say 25 first team squad players, so you've got that, I've just given you that number there, 25. You've also got the under 21s as well, which will have the same amount of numbers in that, and then you've got what, a head coach, assistant or manager, you've got a goalkeeping coach, you've got other specialist areas, conditioning coach, tactical coach, analyst coach. Some people might say, well, you know, that's the same, what's the difference between tactical and analyst? But you know, if you go for the tactical stuff, they kind of like will kind of like you know, they will look at the football side of things, looking at you know, the formation, the behavior of the team, you know, when they're in position and out of position and stuff, and analyze. It's kind of like how a team intends to kind of like play. You know what I mean? Do they cross over? Yeah, I think you could say that. I think it's fair to say that they would kind of like crossover into that. But it's like also as well what Chelsea have got to consider is that they bought Modric for about, was it seven, I think some kind of like media stuff is saying about 70 mil and some saying about 88. So you could say, well, it's fair to say between 70 and 80 million they bought Modric for, and that was in back in 2023, I do believe. So, you know, I mean, what's going to happen with that? You know, will they, if he wins his appeal, you know, there could be some kind of like some counteractions going on in there. You know what I mean? That's if he wins. But Modric saying that his appeal is based on that, he's saying that it got tampered with. You know what I mean? The sample what he give, it got sampled with. But I suppose, you know, with Modric, where's his kind of like where's his proof?
Listen, my
where's
friend,
his proof of that? You know,
when you get caught taking drugs, you have to appeal. You either have to appeal or you have to hold your hand up and say, yeah, I took it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You have to.
Yeah.
And if you don't appeal, people are going to say, well, obviously, he took it. You know what I mean? If you're going to be a bigger man and say, yeah, I did, I messed up, and nobody seems to do that. So you have to appeal to make yourself look innocent and see what comes out at the end of it. You know what I mean? Most people are going to do that, oh, I'm going to appeal this thing or whatever else. You've got to look like, you've got to play the innocent card if you want to play that. But when you get to the end now and you still find out, say you're guilty, what do you say then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was he got pulled up. He was on international duty back in 2024 when Ukraine was playing Albania and Georgia. And afterwards, you know, the scenario probably went something like this. Yo, come here, no? And then he was saying something about that he needs to give a sample, right? So he gave a sample and it came back positive. Like I said, it was... he was saying it was kind of like, yeah, the sample was contaminated. You know what I mean? Somebody basically messed up with it. You know what I mean? But, you know...
Them people are strict when they're doing their things on them kind of thing. There's no room for error when them people are taking the sample. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but very unlikely.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Very unlikely. Especially this day and age after the demo or whatever else. But I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but...
Mm. Yeah, I mean...
What about the band? Do you think that's a bit harsh? 4 years?
Not really. I mean, that kind of drug's been on the market since 2015, I think. Some kind of like guy called Calvin kind of like made it or something. And then... late 2015 it came out and the bandit the start of 2016, that's when they put a ban from it. But like I said, you know, the FA was saying that yeah, it's not in the public domain because of the confidentiality and stuff. But if you can remember, there's been a few footballers back in the day what have been kind of like with them drugs. I mean, Rio Ferdinand, question mark was about him because he actually didn't go for his test. He got selected for a drug test back in 2003, I think it were. And Rio said that he forgot about it. He met a friend and went shopping. You know what I mean? So
I remember that.
The FA slapped an eight-month ban on him and found him 50,000. You know what I mean? Rio can say that he's never failed one. Do you know what I mean? He can say, well, I never failed one. But the thing is, the question mark is that it's there.
He
skipped it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Marks there. And like you're saying, though, even though he got banned for the 8 months and the 50 booth, whatever else, to save your career, that's minor then, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
50,000.
Yeah, back in 2.
You know what I mean? To save your career.
And he got banned for?
Eight months.
So he didn't play football at all?
No.
You're allowed to practice and stuff, but you can't play in any game.
Right. Well, I don't think he would have been training with the squad. He would have been probably training on his own because he's banned. You know what I mean? They're quite strict, really. So doing his own thing for 8 months, probably chipped away, went on holiday and all that kind of stuff as well. You know what I mean? So, you know. And, I mean, one of your players, Carlo Torre, back in 2011, he got a 6 month ban.
I know that.
And said it was something in a diet pill or something like that. Something, you know what I mean?
One of the diet pills where his wife did attack.
His wife was taking it and he took it to lose some of that weightage. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Because he struggled with his weighting.
It was a big unit, innit?
He struggled with his weight, Carlo.
But he could get around the pitch, though.
It was dangerous.
Yeah, he could get around the pitch, though.
He said he took this to help him lose weight.
That's right.
Yeah, but if you know it's got something in it, some banned substance in it, why are you taking it?
I don't think he knew.
Are you saying that because you're a City boy? Are you in Carlo Torre's corner
please,
or something?
Please. Yeah. We're having a conversation, so please don't try and...
Come on now, please.
If you're
an athlete and you're going to pop something and you know you can get tested any time for everything, you're going to look on that box and see what's in it.
I mean, not only just look on the box, but they have a...
They have the club doctors. All them things.
And if there's any discrepancy, you can just give them a call or send them an email, say, yo, I'm thinking, I need to take something. You know what I mean? Yeah. And the doctor will say, yo, just hold on. You know what I mean? I'll get back to you in an hour or I'll email you back tomorrow.
This is it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You cover yourself.
I mean, some of it is going to be a genuine thing. Yeah, I think you've got to accept that. Not all kind of like drug case is the worst case scenario.
You could have an headache,
you know?
Just take a couple of Ibuprofen.
That's right. Yeah, you don't have that. Yeah.
And it could be something in it, you know what I mean?
Definitely. I'm going to call out Nathan Blake too. Nathan Blake, back in 2005, he got banned for 6 months. He was a free agent at the time, and he tested positive for...
Nathan Blake that played for Wales?
And he played for Blades as well. Back in 1994.
Right.
Bought him from Cardiff for 500,000.
Remember
34 appearances and bust 12 goals. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like... Yeah, for him, it was like recreation drugs. He was a free agent at the time. Leicester City released him just before, just the end of their last season. But again, he was a big youth, Tim Blake. You know what I mean?
He was.
Nathan Blake. I mean, God, what would United do for a boy like that in a team? You know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, Derby County entertain the Blades tomorrow. The reason why I kind of like mentioning Derby, because if the teams above them was to win, to lose. So you're talking Hull City in seventh. And Wrexham in six. So if they was to lose or to get a pint, and Derby was to win, which I think they're going to dub up Sheffield United at least 3-1 tomorrow. I can't see United taking anything from down there. Because Derby will be on it. They have to win. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So they're going to have to, and they got home advantage.
They have
to just ram them up. You know what I mean? They have to ram them up tomorrow. I mean, nothing's going to happen to United. Not going down, not going up. You know what I mean? I saw them a sing on the cup anyway. Mm. You know what I mean? So, that's them.
It's going to be an interesting day tomorrow, because you've got Ipswich. If they win, they will go up automatically with Coventry.
See.
But at the same time, you've got Millwall as well. Mm-hmm. So if they draw, but Millwall win, Millwall go up automatically.
See.
Now, if any of them two lose, so say Ipswich was to lose, and Millwall was to lose, and Borough win, right? They'd go on, 80, 81, 82. They would go on them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that means they go up automatically. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting day tomorrow. And who's going to go up with Coventry?
Definitely.
So what if...
Not straightforward,
who
is it?
Did it say? Millwall and who?
If Millwall was to lose...
No, I'm getting at those two you mentioned that were to lose. What if they both win?
If they both win, well, if Ipswich win, Ipswich go up automatically.
They have to win their last game.
So if Millwall... And then it'll be whoever finishes in the playoff position. So, and I can see the teams what are there now, I reckon, are going to be there. I reckon.
It's not going to change.
I know Hull's got a fairly decent chance.
Yeah.
I don't know who. I don't know what the fixtures are. Who Wrexham are playing? I think Wrexham have got to play somebody, and they need to win. Oh, Borough, I think Wrexham's got to play. Yeah. So that's a big game, that, because Borough, if Borough win, they still have a chance of automatic.
Mm.
If Wrexham have to win, so that they can stay in the playoffs position. Mm-hmm. So
everybody have to win.
With the exception of the other team across in Sheffield, the other team, you know, the League Division One team.
Oh, them.
Right. They, I was told today, have sold out tomorrow against West Brom. They sold out.
Yeah, Captain did tell me that about nearly 2 weeks ago.
Because of the takeover. Yeah, there's a takeover
and also
today.
As well, some of them tickets have just been reduced.
I don't know.
To fill it up.
Okay.
You know what I mean? the Malgoffy said buy one, get one free under the quiet.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But Captain wouldn't kind of like admit that. You know what I mean?
Because they definitely, I know for a fact, because a couple of colleagues at my workplace, mm-hmm. they've been saying that they're going and their season ticket holder, and they were saying to me, oh, it's sold out. There is no...
They're saying it like it's something to be proud of, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we've sold out.
Well,
hello, it's a bit of a wake-up call. You're playing in League One next season.
Next year, yeah.
And you have a 15-point deduction. So, well, that in a sellout corner.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Gosh.
So, you know.
Take time.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if it was like the start of the season, sellout,
yeah.
It's going to be a wicked atmosphere, but... You know, reality check Sheffield Wednesdayites.
You see, and they're going to bring North West Brom.
West Brom.
Because West Brom, well, they can't be caught now.
Yeah, they can't be caught.
So there's nothing to play for.
Yeah, they'll be just kind of happy that they're 100% staying in the championship.
They've just beat it because Oxford, lost their last game.
Yeah.
So that's why, no, they didn't. They beat Wednesday, didn't they? Oxford. Did Oxford beat Wednesday? 2-0 or something.
They must have beat them, because everybody else have beat them up. You know what I mean?
Really, I think what Wednesday fans are going for was the hope that they can get to zero.
Well,
that's what I think they're going for.
I mean, they can't get any points anyway. But I think another reason why they're going is because they want to see the team win.
Yeah.
And they've never witnessed a win
at home
all season at home.
At home.
At home. Do you know what I mean? Would you believe that in our time? That we'd be saying that, you know what I mean, on the 1st of May?
Well,
to 2026.
Be fair, I've never known in the history of football, for me.
To win at home?
But in the history of football, a team that's not even got a pint.
Yeah. In professional, like amateurs, you might hear some kind of Mickey Mouse story somewhere up and down the country Blythe Hill or something.
I'm talking about you have not got to zero. You've gone down with 0 points. You know what I mean?
Not registered anyway. 1 point.
I know, that's
bad, in 46 professional games.
Mm, bad, isn't it?
It's shocking, as my mother would say. You know what I mean? Them shocking me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So, I mean, I just don't know what they're going to shout at. I mean, is that all they're bragging about? Oh, we sold out.
Mm.
We can sell out. Mm. Well, if any club reduced their tickets, they'd sell out.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean...
Bottom line, what you guys... There's nothing to be proud of, is there?
There's nothing at all.
There's nothing to be proud of. You go in there, you're going to show the guys some support, so hopefully they come back, whatever else. But,
well, at
50, minus 15.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, you know.
That's what I was saying last week. I can still see them going down to the next one.
I thought he was going at the Premier then. I thought he was coming at the Premier. But Premier is not really Premier.
Yeah.
It's just a fight up between two clubs, innit? Between... The Arsenal and us. It's just a fight out, innit? You know what I mean?
Arsenal and you.
Yeah, it's just a fight out, mm-hmm. really.
Can't really pick Arsenal for winning, too.
Well, fair enough. That's fair enough. And they should win it. With all due respect, on a serious note, they should win it because they were 9 points clear of us. And we've come back to draw it.
Yeah,
so they should win it.
I don't look at it like that, me, because, like, you know, you don't get a given right to kind of win a league or win a game. You've got to earn that.
I agree with that, but...
And in kind of like, obviously, you know, the Prem, toughest league on the planet.
So they say.
I mean, City have got a game in hand. So people would say, well, yeah, I think there's different sides to the argument. Yeah, one side is, well, Arsenal were out of road with it. Them should have just maintained.
Well, they're playing it.
But it shows that it's not as easy as that.
They're playing
again.
They're playing again. Tomorrow against Fulham,
mm-hmm.
we don't play until Monday, bank holiday Monday, against Everton away, which is a hard game, right?
Yeah, they're all will be tough games.
I mean, Arsenal, I watched them against Atletico, and with all due respect, I thought Arsenal, they wasn't that great. They got the penalty, then they're moaning about penalty, what they shouldn't have given, and all that sort of stuff. But That's where football is. So we'll have to see what they do. We'll have to, when they play Fulham tomorrow.
I mean, for me, I think it's just going to go down to the wire. I think it's just more kind of entertaining for a neutral for it to go to the wire. You know what I mean? But, you know, I'll be kind of like interesting to see on Spurs to land in at the championship.
Oh, right.
It's not that I just don't dislike them and they're running out of time, quick time.
Oh, all right. You know? Well, another week's come and gone.